भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So I see there's no verse up there today. So I'll chant the verse myself. This is from the sixth canto, chapter 1, verses number 34 and 36. So there's three verses together here. Sarve padma palasaksaha pitta kuseya vasasaha Kiritina kundalino lasat pushkara malinaha sarve cha nutna vayasaha sarve charu chaturbhujaha danur nisangasi gada sankha chakrambuja sriya diso pitimira lokaha kurvanta svena tejasaha tejasa Kim artam dharma palasya kinkarano nisedata. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Oh, there's a verse. It's now coming. Let's see which verse is on there. Six sarve. So anyone would like to start? Go ahead. Oh. Bebala palaksa sha. Pita kose avasalaha. Kutaniya kundalino. Lasa puskada malinaha. Nirjatambala laksha. Matajis. Tampa and Pantama Vasata. Petakose Avasasaha. Kalina Kundalino. Sapusa Hana. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The order carriers of Yamaraj said, Your eyes are just like the petals of lotus flowers, dressed in yellow silken garments, decorated with garlands of lotuses, and wearing very attractive helmets on your heads and earrings on your ears. You all appear fresh and youthful. Your four long arms are decorated with bows and quivers, of arrows, and with swords, clubs, conch shells, discs, and lotus flowers. Your effulgence has dissipated the darkness of this place with extraordinary illumination. Now, sirs, why are you obstructing us? Purport. Before even being introduced to a foreigner, one becomes acquainted with him through his dress, bodily features and behavior, and can thus understand his position. Therefore, when the Yamadutas saw the Vishnudutas for the first time, they were surprised. They said, "By your bodily features, you appear to be very exalted gentlemen, and you have such celestial power that you have dissipated the darkness of this material world with your own effulgences. Why then should you endeavor to stop us from executing our duty?" It will be explained that the Yamadutas, the order carriers of Yamaraj, mistakenly considered Ajamil sinful. They did not know that although he was sinful throughout his entire life, he was purified by constantly chanting the holy name of Narayan. In other words, unless one is a Vaishnava, one cannot understand the activities of a Vaishnava. The dress and bodily features of the residents of Vaikuntha Loka are properly described in these verses. The residents of Vaikuntha Loka, who are decorated with garlands and yellow silken garments, have four arms holding various weapons. Thus they conspicuously resemble Lord Vishnu. They have the same bodily features as Narayan because they have attained the liberation of Sarupya. But they nevertheless act as servants. All the residents of Vaikuntha Loka know perfectly well that their master is Narayan, or Krishna, and that they are all his servants. They're all self-realized souls who are nitya mukta, everlastingly liberated. Although they could conceivably declare themselves Narayan or Vishnu, they never do so. They always remain Krishna conscious and serve the Lord faithfully. Such is the atmosphere of Vaikuntha Loka. Similarly, one who learns the faithful service of Lord Krishna through the Krishna consciousness movement will always remain in Vaikuntha Loka and have nothing to do with the material world. Om Gyana Tumadanda Syagina Jinasakaya Chakshus Unmilitamina Tasmaya Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Namobhistam Stapitamina Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadanti Swabhadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kaupa Trubhyascha Kripasindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. The order carriers of Yamaraj said, "Your eyes are just like the petals of lotus flowers, dressed in yellow silken garments, decorated with garlands and lotuses, and wearing very attractive helmets on your heads and earrings on your ears. You all appear fresh and youthful. Your four long arms are decorated with bows and quivers of arrows, and with swords, clubs, conch shells, discs, and lotus flowers. Your effulgence has dissipated the darkness of this place with extraordinary illumination. Now, sirs, why are you obstructing us?" So it's a very auspicious day today, auspicious time. And we're so fortunate to be in this auspicious atmosphere, which is created by Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas. So today I'm feeling very fortunate because this holy day of Govardhan Puja, yesterday was Diwali, Festival of Lights, it's also Go Puja today, Go Krita, it's appearance of Rasika Nananda Prabhu, and Srila Prabhupada's appearance day is coming in a few days. And I was very fortunate to have the association again of my Brahma Pradakshaka Guru. And also my god sister went back to Godhead yesterday, and today's verse. So I'll try to tie all this in somehow or other today. We know in India, and now all over the world, devotees are getting ready to celebrate these most important days, like Diwali. This Diwali represents how the need to clean the atmosphere of our hearts so we can receive our Eternal Father, Sri Krishna, in the same way that the inhabitants of Ayodhya, they cleaned and decorated the whole city and illuminated it to receive Lord Ramchandra. So this movement is so wonderful. There's so many festivals, Janmashtami, Gorpranim, Govardhan Puja. You know, you could go on and on and on. And practically speaking, there's a big festival practically every 2 months. So this is all to the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, creating a very blissful atmosphere, Krishna consciousness. The creating of the spiritual world of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness was the unique achievement of Srila Prabhupada when he came to America in 1966. In just a short span of 15 years, this mission made a worldwide base. And in the whole course of human history, I don't think there's any example of any religious movement making such a tremendous impact on mankind in such a short time. So this is ISKCON is one of the greatest miracles of the modern world, and it's due to the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So in this verse, we have to remember that the Yamadutas are, you know, experiencing these Vishnudutas, and they're very surprised, they're shocked. But remember also, Ajamil is there, and he's not dead yet, and his witnessing is also. So it will read in the next chapter, there's a verse that says, Sana Sangena Sarusu, that just in moments of association with devotees, and this is the Prabhupada writing, and it's in parentheses, the Vishnu Dutas. Ajamil detached himself from the material conception of life, and with determination, he went and immediately started for hardware to take a Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada writes in that purport that our Krishna consciousness movement now has centers in Vrindavan and Navadvip, so that those who want to live a retired life, whether they be devotees or not, can go there and with determination give up the bodily concept of life. One is welcome to live in those holy places for the rest of his life in order to achieve the highest success by the very simple method of chanting the holy names of the Lord and taking prasadam. Thus one may return home back to Godhead. So it's very simple. So these Vishnu Dutas, they're the direct associate to Lord Vishnu. And I actually met one. Maybe two. Actually, maybe three. I think the first time was, these were the devotees. Prabhupada says the devotees, the Vishnu Dutas. They were going in Harinam in Boulder, Colorado. And they were actually running. It was a running Harinam, it seemed like to me. And one of them stopped very blissfully and handed me this sweet ball. And I was like, oh, what is this? You know, it's like strict macrobiotic. He goes, oh, no, try it. It's very great. So I just popped it in my mouth, and I can still remember that taste and that experience now. It's like my whole, practically just, I was like in bliss. It was like, wow, this is, you know, it's like, who are these guys? What are they doing? What is this? It was like amazing. And then sometime later, I met another Vishnu Duta, Jagajanani, in the airport. And she gave me the opportunity to touch Prabhupada. And she gave me one of Prabhupada's books. I touched it, held it for a short, brief moment, but then I had to leave. We didn't have time to discuss anything, or I didn't have time to take a book. And then after that, as you all heard yesterday, that I had the good fortune of meeting Noma Sarishi in Boulder, Colorado. I had just given up this illusion. I had such a great... You know how we look forward to like this professional world. So I graduated and was working as an engineering draftsman, but I just became disillusioned with that because I was searching for something spiritual. So I took a leave of absence and I went and lived in the mountains for a couple months with some acrobatics. But then after I could see through that, I came back and I was interested. I thought maybe I should try to help people and take up Chinese medicine or something. So one of my friends told me to go visit, I forget his name, one of Noma Shumishi's friends, who they both graduated in China. They took Chinese medicine. So I went over to the house one morning and I knocked on the door, and there he was, a Vishnu Duda. There was Loma Shurishi, so bright. He was wearing, dressed as a devotee, wearing brahmachari saffron clothes, shaved head, and just the epitome of health. He was so attractive. I was like, wow. And it's like, as soon as I saw him, I go, this is the reason why I came here. And I interviewed his friend with Chinese medicine, but I wasn't so impressed with him. But I was more attracted with, even though now he's a very famous Chinese doctor, both of them are practically, but the other, his friend went on to become very famous. He's world famous, actually. Anyway, Loma Shurishi was kind enough to give me his association the whole day. We went walking all over Boulder, Colorado, just talking about Krishna consciousness and answering all my questions and spending time with me. And this is very important as devotees. You know, when my Guru Maharaj was here, Sri Ajay Pataka Maharaj, we were introducing some new people that came for the first time. I was showing her around and all the different, taking on a tour and showing. Then I introduced her to Ajay Pataka Maharaj, and I told Ajay Pataka Maharaj what I was doing and what we did all day talking around. And he was very pleased. Actually, that evening when he gave the darshan, he said, yeah, it's just like Gaudachandra was spending time with someone. We should all do that. We should spend time with devotees, with new people, and show them around, spend some more time. So I was very fortunate to have a devotee spend time with me. And just like here, Ajamil, he saw these Yamadutas and he was completely just gave up his material taste. And I was like that. And he the next day invited me to the temple. And actually, what's important point too is after I got back from the mountains, the night before I met him, I was like searching and thinking and praying, and I was laying down, and I was just, that evening I can remember, I was just crying out to God, actually. God, if there's a God, where are you? You know, just like very sincerely praying out, you know, where are you? I know there's a God somewhere, just, you know, get my hands on it, you know, it's like that. So the next day is when I met Loma Shurishi. And then he invited me to the temple, and then I stayed there. And he just left me in charge of some other Vishnu Dutas, like Savas Prabhu, who, because of him, I'm still in Krishna consciousness. He was like, took charge of me. And then they introduced me to my real father and mother, Radha Govinda, who really brought me up. I felt there, felt like a child being brought up there. So it was very nice, so many devotees. And as he was mentioning yesterday, when someone speaks nice of you, you feel like, no, I'm really nobody, you know, I'm nothing. And it reminds me of the movie, of course, when the great wizard comes up and says, you're a great wizard. And he says, no, I'm just Harry, right? So that's how I was feeling. No, I'm just Goda, I'm nobody. But like Prabhupada told the devotees, why one Messiah? You all become Messiah. And then Tamal Krishnamara says, but Prabhupada, we're like bugs compared to you. And Prabhupada says, like father, like son. So, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to become, you know, to go out and preach like this. And sometimes we feel, oh, I don't want to do it. I'm nobody, I'm nothing. But we have to, it's actually kind of like, Krishna is empowering us to do something. And when we meet people, how we influence them, we don't know. Actually, you know, you meet with people like all the time, Sankirtan devotees will tell you all the time that sometime later they'll meet someone and they say, what you said was so amazing, or, you know, like you're such a great influence on me, and so many things you think, really? Me? It's like we don't even know how Krishna is working through us. But if you just go out there and preach, Krishna's there and is actually working through you. So it's so nice. So even like Srila Prabhupada even called one of his devotees, like Jaya Pataka Maharaj, said that he is an associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his town in India, man. Please accept him and adopt him as your son. We want him to have his, you know, become a citizen of India so he could preach the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, you know, this is not too far-fetched, saying that Vishnu Dutas are devotees. Actually, Prabhupada said, so, Vishnu Dutas, we have to become Vishnu Dutas. Our preachers are Vishnu Dutas. Just to give protection to any person who is slightly inclined to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is Pancharatra Vidhi. We shall give all help, all assistance to such persons. That's our business. It's not sleeping business. It's not lazy in business. We should always be active. We should always make a plan. Think how to protect this miserable condition of the material world. And so Prabhupada was going on to say in this lecture that his Guru Maharaj said that prana ache yare se hetu prachara, that this is what some of his, he was saying that the fault of the Gaudiya Math is the reason why they failed, actually, he said, because of this principle, that now I've got some disciples, I have a temple, they're contributing, I have nice prasadam, and I don't have to work, and they honor me, and I'm perfect, and that's it. So we could just sit and enjoy. But he didn't like that at all. He wanted the devotees to go out and preach, Prithivichyachi Yati Nagarati. And that's why he's always, his Guru Maharaj would always contemn the devotees, saying, Muni Tumi Krishneta Vaishnava, what kind of Vaishnava are you? So we should always ask that self, what kind of Vaishnava am I? What am I doing, actually? So these Vishnu Dutas, they protect the devotees. They're invisible. Srila Prabhupada said, we don't see them, but they're there everywhere watching the devotees and taking care of them. Prabhupada said, just like there's different types of police department, there's the military department, there's a civil police department. Similarly, there's this transcendental police department. So don't be afraid. He said here, so simply just be a sincere devotee and you'll be protected by Krishna. In fact, even in a purport in this particular, I think it's in the third chapter of this particular canto, Prabhupada writes in the purport that sometimes the devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement, they are afraid of the impending danger of world war, and they ask what would happen to them if war should occur. And in all kinds of danger, they should be confident of their protection by the Vishnu Dutas, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Prati janaiha nabe bhakta pranishati. So Prabhupada writes, material danger is not meant for devotees. This is also confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, padam padam yadvi padam natesham. In this mature world, there are dangers at every step, but they are not meant for devotees who have fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. The pure devotees of the Lord Vishnu may rest assured of the Lord's protection, and as long as they're in the mature world, they should fully engage in devotional service by preaching the call to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna, namely the Hare Krishna movement of Krishna consciousness. So, as I mentioned, my god sister, she left this world yesterday. I didn't know her. Her name was Devaki Mai. But I knew her husband, who was Ekanath Gaura Prabhu. He's a very dear servant of my Guru Maharaj. Traveled with him for years. And they had a car accident. And she got some brain hemorrhages and some heart conditions. So she didn't make it. So she passed away on Diwali. And then, but it's very interesting, I'd like to point out here about that she was surrounded by devotees when she passed away, by Vishnu Dutas. They were singing mantras to her, you know, her parents, her in-laws, her husband, and someone very special, her own spiritual master, was there, and with the help of a mobile phone, he was singing to her next to her ear when she passed away. So what an auspicious way to leave. So this is the protection of the Vishnu Dutas. You see, it's a great sad, we're sad, but it's a very, great, very joyful, because we know she went back to Godhead. So we're very fortunate. So a little bit about Govardhan Puja today. Actually, we're going to celebrate tomorrow, and you can hear a lot more. So I'll just kind of, just some different points about Govardhan Puja, which may not be covered. And we know that at There's a place called Chakratirtha. There's a place where Lord Krishna summoned his disc after the rainfall. And it could generate a heat of 1,000 suns, and it evaporated all the rainwater of Indra's Samvatarka clouds. And at the same time, it's said that Anantasesha appeared in all four directions, and he drank up whatever flood water was remained. And there's different temples in that area. There's so many different temples near that area. There's also a very nice... there's also a Shiva temple where Lord Shiva, he protects the residents of Govardhan. It's within Chakratirtha somewhere there. Chakralishwar Mandir. And actually next to that, there's a place where Sanatana Goswami had his bhajan kutir. And he used to go daily parikram around Govardhan. And one day, when he was very old, Krishna actually came in the form of a coward boy. And told him, "You're too old to go on parikrama." And then he gave him a rock of Govardhan. And he said, "Here, you could just..." And it had a footprint of Krishna on it. And then he said, just circumambulate this. And that way Krishna was there. So that, and then also near there, actually it's, I guess there's many mosquitoes there. And Sanatana Goswami, he decided to move, you know, because of the botherance. And then Lord Shiva appeared disguised as a Brahmin, and he said, he assured him that, "Don't worry, no more mosquitoes will bother you." And to this very day, there's no mosquitoes in Govardhan. So that's unique in the earth. So different sadhus, you go to India, you see they perform parikram around Govardhan. You know, they perform what they call dandabat parikram. They fall flat on the ground like a stick. And then they mark a line in the sand, and then they lay down again, and then mark it again, and then they move forward, and they do the bodily length all the way around the Govardhan Hill. It takes like 10 days to 2 weeks. And then sometimes they chant rounds, actually, before they even do that. They chant rounds, so that takes much longer. And then there's some of these sadhus, they say they carry these stones of 108 stones around their neck, and then they pay 108 obeisances in that one spot. They pick up all the stones, and then they step, you know, that one body length, and then they do 108 obeisances there. And then just keep doing that all the way around Govardhan Hill. And that probably takes a couple years. Can you imagine that? The austerity, the devotees there. So they celebrate the Anakuta festival where, you know, there's a grace, all kinds of... They decorate the temples very nicely, like we're doing here. Nice flowers and leaves and gardens around. Make a wonderful spiritual atmosphere, which we're very fortunate to have. And this is what Prabhupada mentioned in the verse, that if we just, they created, this is the spiritual atmosphere of devotion to Krishna. If we could just maintain this atmosphere, you know, just worshiping Krishna and taking prasadam like this, we'll never be in anywhere but Vaikuntha. So, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Maharaj says that of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. He says, "Oh my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram as well as their calves, cows, and coward friends with all kinds of necessities." So you can imagine all the necessities that the hill provides, you know, drinking, grass, caves, fruits, flowers. You could just go on and on and on. So this Govardhan Puja was established by Krishna himself in order to humble the demigod Indra. And, you know, being devotees, sometimes these demigods, they kind of forget for some reason Krishna's supremacy. I mean, he's such a perfect actor. And I guess when Krishna was here, he was a little boy. And sometimes the demigods are like, "Is that my Lord? Is that my God? No, it can't be. No." So they actually tested him in this way. But also because Indra was becoming proud, so, you know, Krishna decided to rectify him. So there's so much celebration on the hill. And it's interesting, in Braja, it's not uncommon for great personalities to manifest themselves as hills. And it's described that Balaram, in the form of Seshanaga, he manifested as a Charanpari. Shiva, he as Nandisvara. And Lord Brahma as Barshana. So millions of years ago, During Satyayuga, this king, Dronachal, he appeared as a mountain in Somali, eastern India. And he had a son named Govardhan. So at Govardhan's birth, all the demigods, they showered flowers from the sky. And then when the sage, Pulastamuni, saw Govardhan, so lustrously beautiful, and he wanted the mountain as a gift. So he asked the king, and the king was like weeping and trembling, and at the thought of separation from Govardhan. And he told the sage, I could never part with him. But then Pulastamuni was about to raise his hand and curse him. And then at that time, Govardhan spoke up and said that he would follow the sage on one condition, that he'll be allowed to remain wherever he was set down. So Pulastamuni agreed, so he carried Govardhan away in his right hand. Can you imagine how powerful this his personalities were? So he carried him away. And then what happened is he actually put down the sage. The sage put him down in Braja. And then Govardhan was so overjoyed with happy because the sage put him down in Braja to take a bath. So Govardhan was like really blissful because he knows that that's where he's going to stay. But when Pulastya returned to pick him up, he couldn't budge him. He couldn't take him up at all. So then the sage was going to then that's when the sage actually cursed Govardhan to sink in the ground to the measure of one mustard seed a day. So at that time, Govardhan was 24 miles high. And I think today he's like 80 feet tall. So it's pretty amazing. And it's described that Govardhan is shaped like a peacock. If you look on the maps, you can see there's like Radhakund, Shamakund, they're in the northeast. And you can see the eyes of a giant peacock. The tip of the tail is considered to be Panchari. And Jatipur is like the highest point, is where Krishna stood to lift the hill. It's like a third way up from the tail. And like that. So, and then it's Sarovar is considered to be the heart. So it's interesting how people from all over India, it doesn't matter what caste or economic condition they're in, there's the Maharajas, there's the gold herders, the knife sharpeners, fishermen, untouchables, industrialists, teachers, students, beggars, so many, you could just go on and on. All these people, they all walk barefoot around Govardhan Hill. So this is really interesting how this is, in God's eyes, they're all members of his democracy, Krishna's family. So we know that today's Gopuja, cows are worshipped even by the demigods. And Krishna practically demonstrated that through this whole pastime. And Krishna wanted us to follow in his footsteps to give all protection to the cows. And this is how we create that spiritual atmosphere also, is by worshipping Krishna according to his desires, pleasing Krishna. So it's the new moon day today. So this is when the Govardhan Puja ceremony took place. And then after this is when the torrents of rain came, hailstorms imposed by King Indra for 7 days. And then 9 days of the waxing moon passed. And then on the 10th day is when Indra worshipped Krishna, and then the matter was satisfactorily settled. So Prabhupada was very, very much liked the celebrating of Govardhan Puja. And he says, this should be our program to attract the general mass of people. Just go on preaching vigorously like this. You know, and he says, after all, you know, what do the Christians have to offer? In the Christian religion, all we see is a Christ picture as he was crucified. So how can people be attracted to such a thing? There's no science, no philosophy, music, art, prasadam. It's no wonder that people are rejecting this nonsense. Not that Christ himself was nonsense, but those who are preaching in his name, they are nonsense, because they do not follow the simplest orders. Thou shalt not kill. So Prabhupada says, at any rate, there's nothing in the world that can compare to our movement of chanting and dancing. So dance, and when you get tired, take prasadam, This is our actual solid preaching work all over the world. So that's very nice. Prabhupada's encouraging. So today is the appearance, right? The appearance of Rasika Murari. Rasika Nanda Prabhu, who's known as Rasika Murari Ratnika. And he was born in 1590, 56 years after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had ended his pastimes. And he was born to a very powerful zamindar, a landowner. And it's a family of Roni on the Suvyanarkeka River. And it's now in the Medinipur district of southwest Bengal. So this was a time when, you know, the six Goswamis were just preaching, and they were like, you know, they had so much literature, they had poetry, there was history, they had the aesthetics and philosophy, nothing like the world had seen. So Jiva Goswami, he developed a large Vaishnava community in Vrindavan, and he sent his three best disciples, Narottama Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Shyamananda Prabhu, throughout northern India to spread their teachings. So on the way, that's where they met Shyamananda, met this Rasika Murari at that time, his name was. And he initiated him in the name, giving him Rasikananda. So it's interesting how when Rasikananda saw Shyamananda, he just recognized him, like from a previous connection. So it's transcendental. So Rasikananda ran up to him, and he said, he fell at his feet saying, "You are my eternal savior, and Krishna has finally sent you to redeem me." And then Shyamananda Prabhu smiled with great pleasure. "I have found the future of Vaishnavism." So just say on the first meeting, they were like so attracted like that. So he initiated him. That's when he gave him the name Rasikananda. And then like his guru, actually, he was married. His wife's name was Icha Devi, and she took initiation also from Shyamananda Prabhu, and she received the name of Shyamadasi. And then they told them to both chant the Hare Krishna mantra and spread these teachings. So he moved to this, the couple moved to Kashipur. It's a very popular city, very wealthy people live there. And sometime later, Shyamananda, their spiritual master, came and gave them a deity. It's Gopi Janavalabha. And so his spiritual master named that town Gopi Balapur. It means the deity's town, his town. So they did that, and he blessed the townspeople to love the deity and to, you know, just like his disciples love the deity, so to worship like that. So now this is interesting about Shyamananda and his wife. They worked as a team. And it's said that they brought hundreds and thousands of people to the teachings of Krishna. So it's said that he was probably more successful in converting people into Vaishnavism than any other Vaishnava leader of his time. They very enthusiastically pronounced that... anyway, let's see here. So they were called the Shyamanandi Vaishnavas. And it's very interesting how they actually came and developed their own style of dress, of cooking, tilak markings, and temple construction. In fact, they popularized Vaishnavism to the point of creating an entire subculture. You know, talk about an atmosphere. Like, they created this culture based on the principles of Krishna consciousness. And together, they spent 40 years helping people see the good sense of Krishna consciousness. They made disciples amongst great kings, impious rogues, among the brahmanas, the low-born sudras. He completely ignored caste and other qualifications or disqualifications, and he gave everyone a taste for Vaishnavism. So, so he convinced people all throughout Orissa, like the Mahaprabhu's message. So with this, his knowledge, purity, and charisma, he engaged Muslims, Buddhists, and various sects of Hindus in the service of Krishna. He also wrote a book called the Shyamananda Satakam. It's all about Shyamananda's life, his spiritual master. And then towards the end of his life, Rasikananda, he settled in Ramuna, in Orissa, where he was fascinated by the Gopal deity there. And it's said that he would just spend day and night just gazing at the deity. So beautiful. And he'd utter the Maha Mantra, just sit transfixed, stuttering, shedding tears of love. He would point to the deity and say to others, "Don't you see? Don't you see?" It's like, you know, he would see the deity in such a way that he thought other people could see it, but no one could see what he saw. So after spending his life, spreading Krishna consciousness, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and establishing a firm basis for the future of Vaishnavism, he was just content to spend his time in the company of the Lord of his life. So what an example, huh? Shyamananda Prabhu. So this is the mercy of Vishnu Dutas, you know, great devotees throughout our history, like Shyamananda, great devotees like Srila Prabhupada, and most recent devotees, as we know, everyone that we remember, we should never forget where we come from and where we are right now. So it's really nice, very fortunate to be able to sometimes be reminded of how we came to Krishna consciousness, and really appreciate the devotees' association and this great atmosphere that's created in such wonderful festivals and devotee association, prasadam, such culture. It's so great. So this is a very auspicious time. We could take advantage of it. So thank you for your kind attention, and maybe somebody has some more they'd like to say about this auspicious day, or any comments or questions. No? Okay, we'll have a very auspicious day. Thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Govardhan Puja Ki Jai.
Okay.